listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. We're in the live stream now, March 14th. It's 9:22 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, waiting for Rollo and Tom Delpra, doing a little after show. Tom Delpra, welcome to the live stream.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I won't say your surname. You haven't ever offered it yourself, so yes, good evening.
you're funny. Yeah, that's fine. Appreciate that.
I'm not doing it deliberately or because of it for any reason other than sort of modesty.
Very good. Rollo's in the chat. Hello, Rollo.
G'day. Can you hear me okay?
Excellent. You pissed off John Laws.
I did. Do you want to just play it now? And I'll get Tom Dapra's comments about Mr. Hawking passing.
You want to hear Rollo pissing off the great tonsil, golden tonsil John Laws for 3 minutes and 36 seconds?
Well, I suppose. I mean, is it worth it? Is it good?
Hey, and everyone at Fakeologist, call 1-300-564-652. It is worth it, Tom. I mention you.
Well, if
I'm all right, thank you.
Ah, nice to talk to you. Stephen Hawking. Actually, it's funny that you should bring that up. That's exactly what I would like to talk to you about. Have you actually read the brief history of time?
No.
That was as it went into.
I have not, no. I started to read it. Too deep for me. I'm not that clever.
Me neither, actually. I actually read it from cover to cover, and there
were
only three pages I could actually understand,
that's the point.
Did you ever meet him?
No.
You never met him either?
No.
There's a few people I know that, one person in particular, Tom Dalper, from fakeologist.com, who actually met him. He didn't have a lot to say to him, but he lived in Cambridge. What did he write? Let me just go. He wrote something very, very nice.
Rollo, why didn't you mark all this out before you picked up the phone?
I'm not a professional. You've got tons of handmaidens and producers and that.
I haven't got tons of handmaidens and producers. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking? Of course you do. Well, you do UE days and you do GP days.
You were
the man, and you have tons of people to produce the stuff. You've just got the golden tonsils. That's all you've got.
I see. No brain stuff in
you. No, well, you don't, because all you do the first thing in the morning, is you read a whole bunch of stuff that's written for you.
How do you know that's written for me?
Because I know that especially when you tried to talk sport, you know nothing about it.
Oh, that's right. I know a bit. Hang on. I know a bit about some sport, tennis, cricket, I love those, but I can get a bit lost in.
Ray Hadley or whoever.
I get a bit lost with some sports, but yeah. I know a lot about cricket, and I know a lot of about motor racing.
I know your game for years. It was like, look, I've liked your game. I always loved it when you went hello, and you stopped doing that after Liz Jackson exposed you for. What you did, what you used to do is, like, bring people, like, and then they pretend that they were calling you.
That's a lie?
It's not a lie. It was exactly exposed.
Listen to me, you blockheaded bastard. I said it's a lie, and I'm telling you it's a lie, and I don't care what Liz Jackson said or what you say or what anybody else said. That is a lie.
Well, look, and then John Howard pretends... Huh.
I beg your pardon?
Hello, I'm just listening, John.
Listen to me, you glockhead.
What are you doing? I wish you'd go away. You're a pain in the ass. And apart from that, you think you're smart.
I mean, look, I still like the radio style.
I don't care. Do you think I care whether a bloke like you likes my radio style? With a ridiculous name like Rollo, you can piss off.
Rollo, you're a pain in the ass. Rollo, you're a pain in the ass.
I am a pain in the ass.
Oh, that's funny. Who was that end bit? Who was that?
That's John Laws, 1-300-564-652. You can't call him now because he's not on the air, but I called him this morning as a little bit of it because Delqua just did it, said do it for a dare. Yeah. I should have kept on topic, but I did mention you, Tom.
I am calling from the grave. Please let Rollo off the air as soon as possible.
Oh, that's for that.
I'm trolling from the grave. Nice way.
From beyond the grave, my name is Stephen Hawking. Yes, so, I'm from Cambridge.
So tell us about your interactions with Stephen Hawking now that we've got all the time in the world, Tom. You live in Cambridge? And
Tom, please tell us a bit about Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Do you want to go through your response? What did you read?
Well, I'll just say that, no, I was just saying that because I live in Cambridge, England, lived for, well, supposedly, for the last 50 years or whatever, I have some experience of him.
Yeah.
He used to, in sort of mid-90s, I remember seeing, this is when I used to see him a lot, I was in town a lot. But he'd go out in his wheelchair on sunny days, particularly, you know, when it was nice for a walk down by the river and stuff. And he'd go out in his wheelchair through crowds of people, like, really. He was quite that way, in the sense that he wasn't afraid to mix in. He was quite a big star. But he'd go with his nurse, who then became his second wife.
That's right, yeah, I read that. So
you could go and talk to him. You could go, and people did. They went and talked to him, and he would answer with his electronic voice, but he could do it. I mean, it works, you know. I mean, I had a friend who spoke to him, but and you know, saw him quite regularly about town. He could be seen around, you know. I was just saying,
interesting. But how can we reconcile that with fakeology? That's all, because you saw an actual person that looked like the person that's in all the imagery.
Well, yeah.
So my only question is, how can we reconcile that with fakeology?
With fakeology? Well, Stephen Hawking, we're talking about one of the greatest deceptions of science.
Okay.
So that, in its sense, is kind of fake. But it's not fake as in sort of media. We don't have to find media fakery specifically. Yeah. Like we say, in minutia of all these great big deceptions of history. But certainly, there's certainly things we talk about on this channel, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, here's the question. Like, so he was never replaced. He wasn't dead and just wheeled out there on, and then somebody else typing in and doing that voice, right? So that was the guy. Yeah.
Wouldn't, yes, correct, Rollo. I would say that, you know, what I have seen is things like, you know, he was a multiple, you know, he had loads of doubles used for him, and he's not the same guy that he's always been. His Asian, that all I'm saying is, all right, let's look at that idea, and I say, no, my feeling is that that's not true. You know, he wasn't that. I don't think that's what happened. I think that'd be much more complicated than having a real person, you know, a living, breathing, acting.
Well, Einstein was a real person.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think so. I think we agree on that. The fakery only goes to what allegedly came out of his mouth. I think that's what I think. Exactly. I believe that.
And what
have you read the book?
You blockhead.
No, you blockhead. And what about you, Tom? Have you read it?
A Brief History of Time.
Have you read it?
Honestly, George, I didn't have the time to read it.
I'm not you blockhead.
You blockhead.
It's a big bang and all this big bollocks, isn't it? And it's just mainstream science. But this is a con in itself. This is a huge con.
Rollo, get off my phone.
Look, the thing is, when Simon Shack releases his cosmology or his universe, I just make, I hope, Simon Shack, if you're listening, I know you contribute to fakeologist.com, please make it an easier read than that fucking brief history of time.
Well, you read what I wrote about that book that I...
Well, can you help me out again? What did you write?
I lifted a quote.
Yeah.
But for some readers, the subtext of A Brief History of Time was a human interest story about a genius who overcame his disability. Multiple reviews from time to time touch on this. Hawking said in the journal that it probably helped sales, but he signaled he was uneasy with such reading. So in other words, the point is that he was playing a character that overcame his huge disability for 55 unprecedented years in the history of ALS. It basically just a human interest story, and this is the kind of stuff they like to promote. And it says here, Hawking and others have long joked that many people purchased his book because it made them look smart but never bothered to read it. He agreed that the book, Brief History of Time, was probably the least read but most bought book ever. So I posted this because this is the point of NASA. NASA is just a group that their main goal is to promote the religion of science to children. And it's also to steal and to channel their imaginations away from the possible truth of our cosmology and the nature of our Earth. And if you can derail all the children at the very beginning, then they're going to have to overcome tremendous barriers in programming to actually possibly see what really is going on. That is the purpose of NASA, I think.
Yeah.
And similarly, they use
Carl Sagan, your what's his name, the new Carl Sagan, the black fella, what's his name, I forgot.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
So you got these guys. They're all apologists for the fakery that is NASA. I mean, I spoke to John LeBon the other day. I spoke to so many people about. I mean, NASA's fake. I mean, the big fat tubby American Kelly, your guy Chris Hadfield up there playing guitars
But you see the point of it. And I was just trying to relate that
they're fucking with children's minds. Hey, I agree.
But they also are messing with the idea of Hawking. This whole idea that somebody who is so disabled. And I think most people that suffer from Lou Gehrig's disease, they actually die of asphyxia or suffocation because the autonomous nerves that control the diaphragm, that control breathing, they just seize up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they die. Or they die of pneumonia because they just can't clear their lungs of the normal fluid. So
like Chris Reeves his neck.
The idea that this guy could live for 55 years is just on the face preposterous.
Yes, this seems...
Maybe Tom did see a real person named Stephen Hawking, but he sure as hell didn't have ALS. He might have had another debilitating nervous disease, maybe muscular sclerosis, but even people with MS. We knew someone with MS, and he died within 5 years. Same problems, because the myelin sheath that covers the nerves is exposed and the body attacks it as a foreign entity, and they just seize up, like, quickly. So most autonomous, self-attacking, autoimmune nervous diseases, you don't have long to live. So whatever happened to Stephen Hawking, maybe he was brain damaged at birth, that kind of thing, and so then maybe there was no actual disease, but maybe it was physically debilitated early on. And disabled people with birth defects or with birth injuries, they can live that long. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, as I say, I also have experience in care work. So in my time, I've been assigned to look after severely disabled people. And there are some remarkable people who live very long and survive a long time. Trump is a remarkable one, but, not unfeasible. I've known who are in wheelchairs that disabled. Not specifically with the Lou Gehrig's disease, which it has to still, again, be an outstanding question. Yeah, how on earth did he live so long, freakishly long? Yeah, was he given? Long. You know, it's either not real.
Yes.
In some way, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't add up.
But you're here to say he is physically real, but the story is still unreal.
Yes.
And this is the problem when we talk about fakery and hoaxes. Because if they're half true, they're impossible to disprove because we have people that see the person, so it's a half truth.
This is
very difficult.
The way it works. This is real life. Yeah. And he was created. Somehow they've created this legend
around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so believable and credible because he's living, breathing. He is a real person. But he's a purveyor of a massive fraud, really, with his science. And how controlled was he about his output? I mean, really, it's...
Maybe he was just a science teacher at one point. Who knows what's in the brain?
I guess, would he have been early on, he would have perhaps been selected, you know, this bullshitter in the bullshit of astrophysics who started to become ill or physically disabled slightly. And they thought, yeah, that would be perfect. We could have him with this kind of wheelchair-bound...
Or maybe he was so disabled that he's somehow connected or family and connected to intelligence. They said, listen, we'll take full care of the guy. You just have to go along with this little script. That would be easy to go along with.
Yeah. Really look after him. And he can... They've made him like that. And there's been enough drugs that we don't know about that can handle, like you suggested tentatively on your post, is there drugs that could sort of tackle Lou Gehrig's disease that haven't been allowed, given to them?
That wasn't me that said that. I don't believe that.
To one sort of, you have to look at different possibilities. Or he actually wasn't, he didn't have the condition we're told he did. Don't know for sure he wasn't replaced. But, I mean, I also spent some time, I know his daughter, Lucy, I spent some time with Lucy. I got friendly with her. To go into a coffee with her. Nature of the relationship we had, I wasn't in a position to sort of talk to her about her father at all. Sort of hush. It was, you know, I wasn't supposed to know about that she was his daughter. That was the nature of that relationship. But I know, I got the impression through a mutual friend that she did some care for him as well, her father. He hadn't been that well. I'm talking about nearly 8-9 years ago. He was only now of illness and he might not last that much longer, was the rumour then. But you get a feel for things, don't you? I mean, you know, with Lucy, she was lovely, you could say on one level, absolutely lovely. But if she's involved in the same science fraud. You know, she's going to seminars and doing stuff on space and all this bollocks and promoting what her dad's been saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's probably completely innocent to it all and believes, you know, her father is a great scientist. She is now an agent as well for the science fraud, going around and being good at it and being honest and thinking she's doing the right thing. But, that's the impression I got.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so there we go. We got, there's Tommy Dalper from fakeologist.com. You've been here for years, Tom. So, you have some direct connection with it. So, it's nice to hear your thoughts. And, I always thought he was just the Weekend at Bernie's guy myself, that they just brought him out.
It's a classic timing on Einstein's birthday, was it?
Oh, could be, yeah.
Probably timing.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Zach Hubbard when we need him?
Oh, he's the most on it.
The thing is, medicine these days, you can keep someone alive for as long as you bloody want, almost. Do you know what I mean? If you really want to. So, keep them hanging. But,
yeah, like when Chris Reeves, I mean, if he did break his neck or whatever, I mean, they did.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years he survived, didn't he?
Well.
Oh, hold on a sec. Steven's on the line here.
Okay. Tom, thank you for defending my good character.
I'm glad you liked my daughter, Lucy.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. He's still alive. Yeah. He's in the DCP or whatever it is.
Yeah. It, funny enough, I did hit it off with her, in fact. I was, you know, I was friendly with her, and it's a dick and all I'm talking
about. What did Steve say about that?
I hope you didn't get romantic with her, you old devil.
No. She's married to... sort of insight, perhaps, is that Lucy was married to, you know, wealthy family. She's this was, yes, aristocracy that she'd married into, almost. It's yes.
Are you saying Lucy wasn't loose?
She wasn't loose. She was lovely. I wouldn't say that, Stephen, about your daughter.
Oh, God.
Although, Stephen, I heard a lot of rumours about you going to brothels. You can. Ab and I was, for instance, in text earlier, discussing this idea that you can still be sexually functioning with the disease. And there was these rumours, and I'm sure, I think it's true, that his second marriage to his nurse was a sexual relationship. And he, Hawking himself, called it a tempestuous and passionate one. One that would.
How did you know I could get an erection? How did you know I could get an erection?
I mean, you know, you did, and yes, as I say, I think he, and so that, yeah.
Oh, this is disgusting. What are you saying, Stephen?
I could blow multiple loads into men black holes.
Oh, Jesus. That's terrible.
You're having fun with that, aren't you, Ab? You're having lots of fun with that.
That's enough.
So good.
He loved black holes. I mean, we know that. And he loved a Big Bang.
That's right. All of the science is based on disgusting sexual innuendo. Let's be honest. Come on, this is just...
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, most of it's scientism, isn't it? It's not science. It's just scientism. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, apologist, or a poor man's Carl Sagan. I watched all that crap when I was young in the 70s, the whole cosmos thing, and I thought it was real, and no, turns out it's all bullshit. Go, Tom.
I was just going to say that the lie is powerful to sell the lie with this guy in this wheelchair, this kind of, is it Stavros, the Dalek leader?
Oh, Davros.
Davros. Davros. It's kind of like this. Yeah, it was a masterstroke, you know, to have this character. He has been very distinctive, hasn't he? And he can sell this. It kind of almost enhances the lie, doesn't it? The perception of it all.
Oh yeah. And now that we've got the ability, every single, like me and Fakeologist and you, Tom, and all of the Fakeologists. And I want to talk about, make sure you remind me about Hoaxbusters Call losing their blog yesterday. That was quite upsetting to me. But, the whole idea of, the ISS space station and who's taking the pictures of all this stuff? When I watched Cosmos years ago and they had this satellite going past Mars, who was there behind the satellite that was going past Mars taking the video of it? You know, you don't think about that. It's just crap. Lights in the sky, and that's all it is. I mean, there's the moon there. I mean, they're bullshitted about that. I mean, we know that's fake. And the other thing is just stars. I mean, there's something else going on, but... Nothing. NASA is just a big bloated fucking, what do you call it, a government corporation, that needs to go away. I mean, even Bart Sobrell said that in his film. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon that, you could be spending the money better on, I don't know, whatever, on doing caring or whatever. Sorry, fake.
Roland, did you have five connections connected to the audio streamer tonight? I just was curious if it was you or because it was someone in Australia had a lot of connections.
No, it was just me. It was just one. Why would I have five? One's enough. Hey, one's enough connected to you, Ab.
Five. No, it was interesting. No, I just said there were five connections from Australia from some. Mm. I can't remember the name of the place, but some.
Oh yeah, mine comes up as somewhere in Sydney. Yeah, I live in Newcastle. Yeah,
it said Bell something, Bow something. I don't know.
Oh, Belmore or somewhere. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking to you and pay due to your 55. It went really well, and it wasn't as good as the first one. Look, you can't have. I always think the first one's always the best. you know, like take one. Format. Take one is always the best.
What would you do different?
No, nothing. I think the format is working perfect. 55 minutes, so you don't fuck around. You just go like 2 minutes on a topic, and
there wasn't a lot of interesting topics this week. I don't know.
Oh, I think Stephen Hawking this week is a massive topic, and I mean, apart from Hoaxbusters Call getting ripped off, hoaxbusterscall.blogspot.com.
Yeah,
I mean that's huge to me, and a lot of fakeologists are upset about that, and they've actually uploaded, they've actually done what you said. They put all the, Kyle, his name is, he's a lovely guy, not so Freemason, has actually uploaded all the, your stuff, Hoaxbusters stuff, and a lot of stuff that Clues Chronicles. K-Ham, and even my old radio rollers that I did a few of, you know, so, yeah.
Nice.
He's done a great job, yeah. So, it's all a 52 gigabyte file, so it's massive, but everybody
that's
tries
a biggie.
To share it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, we're just, Faye and I are just trying something new. Tom, did you like it at all, or?
I didn't get to hear last week's wonderful premiere edition, clearly, that I should go back and listen to. And you've only just recorded the second one, I think. And, I didn't listen live. I've been busy, but I keep there's several audios that keep me to go back and catch up on. And that was one of them.
All right, good. Good on you, mate.
It got good reports.
It's a new format. We're just trying it out.
Yeah, no, you got good reports on the first one. A lot of people said excellent chat, and I thought I have to listen to that one. And it's not too long. It's the really long ones are the ones that are a bit intimidating to get stuck into.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what we're trying to avoid. People
you get hooked. Yeah, I'd suggest any fakeologists that are listening to this audio chat, listen to me and John LeBon. I mean, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Hey, next time, get your notes set up so you can just drop links and like crazy if you're going to get on John 1-800 show.
That was 1-300-564-652. Yeah. Look,
that
I
was
get
really
nervous.
Good.
Because
no, I know you do. I know. Mm. Yeah, that's all right. But
let me apologize publicly for, you're right, I had a little bit of a go at him, but look, I've got the inside scoop. I know how radio works, and I know that he called John Howard, his minions, his handlers, his producers, people, and he used to do it. This is the way he used to do it, Ab. He used to go, hello.
I know.
And then because he had all the power, all the politicians, everybody would pander to him. And I went pander to him. But I still love radio, and I still love my past history. I listen to Andrew Denton. Go to fakeologist.com, listen to that Andrew Denton thing that I posted.
I did. It wasn't that interesting, honestly.
Doug Mulray. I mean, this is comedy radio I'm talking about. We don't get that anymore. We don't get it. It's just crap radio. And this is why I'm here now, because I love listening to everything fakeologists, everything Hoaxbusters. And the second I heard, I messaged John Adams. The second I heard, I said, "Where the fuck's Hoaxbusters gone?" And he didn't know. And I apologize because I was chatting with Gaia, and at the beginning of that last Hoaxbusters thing, we were talking, and that shouldn't have ever gone to air. So don't listen to that. It wasn't meant to go to air, but there you go. I just got that I was muted. But I know I should treat every radio guy should treat a mic as open. Yeah, I know. I just got lazy. You always should treat everyone.
Does anyone listen to that guy, or is he on the internet, or John Laws?
Yeah. Lawsy, do you want to know his history?
No, no, I don't want his history. His current, what about today? Is he actually on the
2SM,
air?
2SM. 2SM.com.au.
But is he on the actual air?
Well, not now, but he's on the air from 9 till 12.
No, but is he on the internet radio, or is he on the radio?
No, he's 2SM in Sydney, 2SM.
Oh, okay, so he's still on the terrestrial.
Big time, yeah. I mean, 2SM isn't 2UE or 2GB. So 2SM is still massive, yeah.
Okay, so you got a plug in there today.
Yeah, 2SM, all right, is... Like, people think of it as, look, a lot of people like 2SM because they're more of a music station. But Lawsy, when he left 2UE, he went to 2SM because it basically just gave him free range. The guy that runs 2SM just gave him said, look, because he got bored. He retired in 2007. That picture of me, Ab, you see that picture of me with him in 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. I went specifically to get that photo with him because I always liked him. It always made me feel good. If I felt shitty, I listened to John Laws, and he retired at 2007. So I went and made the effort to go and see him, and then in 2011 he was still alive and got bored, and so he went to 2SM and he's been on 2SM ever since. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just I
well, get your notes ready.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Well, he's right, isn't he? But I don't have producers, do I? Sorry, Tom, does Tom want to say something?
No, I didn't want to say anything at all. I was just listening. What did he call you? It made me laugh.
A blockhead.
Blockhead, you fellow.
Yeah, I'm a blockhead.
I think about
it. I'm just listening, John.
There we go.
What are you doing? I wish you'd go away. You're a pain in the ass. And apart from that, you think you're smart.
I mean, look, I still like the new radio style.
I don't. Do you think I care whether a bit like you laughs my radio style with a ridiculous name like Rollo to piss off?
It broke up a bit towards the end there. But yeah, if you've got a ridiculous name like Rollo, you can piss off. Yeah, nice. Look, I've got a thick skin. To be a fakeologist, you have to have a thick skin. And, Ab, you must have been called all sorts of names with what you've, the game that you're in.
I wish you'd go away. You're a pain in the ass. And apart from that, you think you're smart.
I mean, look, I still like the new radio style.
I don't care. Do you think I care whether a bloke like you likes me?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's breaking up a bit.
But the earlier bit when he called you, that's a lie, you blockhead.
Yeah, it's a lie because it's not a lie. And it's not a lie. Anyone that's got half a brain knows that's his game. Oh, here we go. We got Del Qua. Hello, Del. Del Qua from outsideradio.blogspot.com.
How's it going, guys?
Hello, Del Qua.
Yeah, I was just listening to you playing the John Law thing, and it was breaking up.
Yeah, I know, because I got something in the background.
I'm going to go and have a smoke. I'll be right back. I'll be 2 minutes.
I was cracking up listening to it, but yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. You want me to play it?
Oh, here I go. I just had a process going. I'll just play the last part again. That's
you
a fun
just
night.
Gleaned.
Yes, I can.
Are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you. That is a lie.
Well, look, and then John Howard pretend.
I beg your pardon?
Hello, I'm just listening, John.
What are you doing? I wish you'd go away. You're a pain in the ass. And apart from that, you think you're smart.
I mean, look, I still like your radio style.
I don't care. Do you think I care whether a bloke like you likes my radio style? With a ridiculous name like Rollo, you can piss off.
Sorry. Oh, the things we laugh at on account of Rollo.
It's a funny kind of a crazy old rock and roll world, isn't it?
Yeah. How are you, Del?
I'm not too bad. I'm just feeling for poor old, what was it?
Morgan family.
Yeah, but the Einstein connection as well, you're born on the date, you die on the date. That angle of it as well.
Was he born on Einstein's birthday?
Oh, yeah, I think that was the way it was portrayed. Yeah. Was he born on his birthday or his death day? And I think...
Don't feel bad for me, Vilkware. I'm in a better place now.
Yes, he's in the infinite parabolic wheelchair in the sky.
Oh, here comes Ab.
Right.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
I remember that time, Tom, that you opened up a packet of crisps or something, and it caused all sorts of...
Oh, there was a shit.
It's not real! It's not real!
Money. It's a rich man's world.
It's not real. Do you want me to do it again live? It's not real!
Oh, man, it blew my ears out.
So, got Rollo to do that in the middle of nowhere in the Irish countryside.
Yeah, well, we had so much fun in Ireland. And what was the quote you were saying before about being familiar or whatever, Delco?
Which one? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes! Familiarity breeds contempt. I like that. Who?
I don't know. I think it might have been Oscar Wilde, but like fucking hell, there's enough of them written on the side of a pub in Dublin to do anybody. But anyway, I digressed there and I diverted the conversation. Just go back to what you were talking about there, lads.
Yeah, it was Stephen Hawking. Yeah, big time. And do you remember? Carl Sagan and Neil deGrasse Tyson and
Sagan. At least Carl Sagan had millions and millions and billions and billions of credibility in his TV productions. No. It's just another. It's a long line of a presentation for us all.
Well, Jeff, I've got Carl Sagan on.
No, what's that got to do with feckin'? No,
what's that got to do with the feckin' price of fish? No, it's cool. Yeah, what you were saying for familiarity. Can I say that word correctly? Yeah, breeds contempt. Yeah. So. It's nice to have Tom here. Tom actually met the kids of, I've forgotten his name.
Einstein. Stephen Hawking.
Not Albert Einstein. Stephen Hawking.
Have you been looking at the connections of the Einstein, Hawkins, and Newton triangle, Tom? I was thinking of you when I was looking at that.
No, there's a, when you said there's a connection, a triangular connection, what's that?
Well, Newton is either his birthday or his death day, right? And Einstein.
and Einstein.
The three of them were mentioned all together in the eulogy of, you know.
Yes, he's been aligned with those two, hasn't he? So we've seen the passing of someone who is one of the great Einstein, Newton type British based scientists. Was Einstein British based?
The other thing about it was, I thought was strange, was that then they were talking about some sort of doubt over his whole honor. He was given an honor, and you know the way they had the feckin', you know, the headline of the article was like, you know, a black hole over Hawking's theory or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking one thing after another with these people.
Yeah, sorry, Albert Einstein was a German. Obviously. What a figure, though. This Hawking will definitely go be written in history, won't it? Like,
yeah.
After some great, amazing sort of scientist. House of Cards.
The greatest mind in the scientific world is being lauded now.
Now, so, same birth, I'm trying to think of the same. Oh, he was born on the 14th of March, Einstein. And then.
And then.
Newton.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's the same, there's some same dates there.
And there's something to do with Newton, whether his. Either his birth or death or his whatever, his publishing of his whatever theories. There's something connected in the dates.
Okay. It was
a bit more. There's a cursory look over things this evening, and, you know, I haven't got a link, but I can look for it. Yeah.
It's enough said, really, that he's been put in the same breath as Newton and Einstein.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, we've actually got John LeVon's joined us from johnlevon.com. Has he got something to say about Stephen Hawking?
Oh, I'm just enjoying the chat, guys. No need to pause for me. I mean, just got here a few minutes ago, so I'll
put
myself back on.
Yeah, we'll give you the 411. All right. Well, there you go. He's going on mute. But, yeah. It's always nice to hear different, certainly younger people. We're all old heads here at Fakeologists. John Bonds of the way.
Don't write the old folk off.
There's got to be ages, yes.
Yeah, ages, yeah. That could be the new wrong think. Wrong think, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope that's the next trend.
There are people in stationary wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Did any of you get to listen to that? I never even heard that thing until today. And I actually have the feckin' box set of the day to day. You know, Chris Morris, you know.
Oh, that is excellent.
The 9/11 one where he, you know, your man, O'Hanron. He always catches them out telling lies, you know, and he's the reporter on the spot, and he always catches them out with something. That 9/11 sketch is unbelievable. You know, well, when I say unbelievable, I just, you know, I think it's comedy gold, really.
It's the best satire on TV news.
Is Ab here? He's muted, but did you get to listen to that, man? It's only like a 3-minute thing.
Which is that?
Really. It's a sketch. Right, but from back in the day, from Chris Morris, and he used to have a show called Day to Day, and they basically just took the piss out of the news. It was just another way of rolling out the news to people.
Yeah.
They took
Did
the
you
piss
link out. To that?
Current. I put an MP3 into the audio room here, and I also put it into the 9/11, because I came across it, and yeah, I probably heard it before, but it just hit me with, you know, wow, you know? And I had the box set of it there for years. It was a series that was like back in the 90s into the
day to day September 11th. Is that it?
No. If you listen to that, man. It's very funny. You could actually play it if you wanted to.
It's only a day to day?
A couple of minutes long. Yeah, it's an MP3.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
The Day to Day 24 Live now stays with those terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Both towers now gone. Later, what is a hijacked airliner and how does it crash? But first, our correspondent Peter O'Hanrahan is in New York at the moment. He went there to cover the World Trade Organization talks due to start today at the World Trade Center. He's on the line now. Peter, where are you and what's going on?
It's a clear, crisp morning in New York, Chris. Crackle of anticipation among the delegates at breakfast. Not at stake here. These talks could be the big yes or no for the Eastern economies.
Right, so Peter, can you tell us exactly what the situation is currently in New York?
Well, the situation, I'd say, it's eggs over easy for the Germans, eggs over not bad for the Japanese, and eggs over pretty grim for the Russians.
So the meetings are going ahead?
That's right, Chris.
And where are they being held?
Here at the World Trade Center.
You're at the World Trade Center?
Yes.
Whereabouts exactly in the World Trade Center are you?
I'm in that in the restaurant, the Windows on the World restaurant, Chris. Floor 107. Sipping a cappuccino.
Floor 107 no longer gives a particularly good view of New York.
Well, it does from where I'm sitting.
It's
Chris.
Now part of the basement.
I think not. pulling my leg, Chris.
Are you near a television?
Yes. I don't
I'd like you to turn it on.
I'm going to a television in the restaurant. There's one of those.
Yes, just get on with it, please.
Right, the television's on.
Tell me what you can see.
Well, it's quite bizarre. I'm actually looking at an image of the World Trade Center. I could almost be looking at myself if I waved.
What can you see?
Well, there's a plane in one of them. Yeah, actually, we didn't hear that. The sound insulation in these buildings is extraordinary. There is a plane that...
Keep watching, Peter.
What? Oh, my God. One of the towers has collapsed. Fortunately, not the one I'm in. The one I'm in is one of the towers. The other tower... The tower I'm in is collapsing. I'm collapsing, Chris, under the sheer... I've managed... I'm out! I'm not there.
Where are you?
I'm in a hotel in Midtown, the Marriott, my hotel, in my room.
Why did you say you were at the World Trade Center?
Because that's where I was supposed to be this morning.
You overslept?
I slept longer than I'd anticipated.
Would you like to revise your appraisal of the situation in New York in light of what you've just gleaned?
Yes, I can, Chris.
Go ahead.
I'm a man standing at a window of his hotel room. Very grey day. Very grey day for the world, Chris. It seems like a movie.
Peter, you've added nothing. That's Peter O'Hanrahan from New York on a day which will go down...
Day.
Be quiet!
You see that now, man? It's just like a movie.
That was funny.
About that. It was funny, but listen, man, that was mainstream back in the day. That was like a Channel 4 comedy show where they took the piss out of the news.
That's funny. That's pretty good. That's okay.
Yeah, but
I love that one. There was a paedophile episode, and they said they convicted the paedophile, and they said as a punishment, he would be sent up into space in a rocket, never to return to going to eternal orbit. Unfortunately, at the last minute, they accidentally sent this paedophile into space with an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah. That was the end of the brass eye thing where they did that whole paedophile thing. But do you remember the brass eye shows where they did one all about science and they took the piss out of the moon landings? And they picked, you know, they went through all of these things. And, you know, at the time... You know, it's very funny, but they're putting it out there in front of people's eyes, really, you know. Yeah. So you got that guy, you see, Ab, I put also in the off-topic, you know, actually in the movie and, you know, the music part of it, an actual sort of somebody's idea of the best clips of it. It's just a YouTube link. But it shows you an idea of the skits and sketches they did, you know. But it was all to do with, you know, your man's a newsreader. The other guy is the correspondent that he always catches out telling lies because he's never really doing what he's supposed to be doing, or he's not there where, he, you know, the 9/11 one there is the example. But I just thought it was, you know, quite telling the way they put in, you know. It's just like a movie, and he tells him to turn his TV on because he was there lying, pretending that he was in the World Trade Center at the time, you know. And, you know, I think it just lays it out there.
Yeah. Hey, Del.
Yeah.
Look, did you want to have a few words to say about the guy that you produced back in the day? Would you like to?
No, not at the moment, man. But,
okay, I don't want to bring them in again. Okay, all right.
John LeBon actually put in asking, you know, about where that came from. So I was kind of answering his question as well.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to bring the mood down, but I just thought that you know, while we're in the live stream, you might.
I'm going.
I know I pissed John Laws off today, and I.
Yeah. Well,
good luck to him. He's 85 years old. He's made it to 85. He's not 42 and dropped off the perch, but. Good luck to him. He enjoyed. Well, I irritated him a little bit, like a mosquito. But there you go.
I think he thought you were a beautiful man.
Oh well, I don't know about that, Tom. How many times have you been, Tom? Tell me, how many times have you been heckled when you're at a festival and you're on, like, you know? Have you ever copped shit? Like people throw shit at you or whatever?
Yeah, loads of times, yeah. And you take it all. I came from the sort of the punk generation in a way, so that we went into pubs in certain environments where the audience was almost expected to abuse you. I grew up a little bit on the edge, just to the end of the punk era. So,
good
upbringing. You could toughen you up for anything, you know. Had all sorts.
Yeah. Tell me some of the, like, I mean, I went and saw Guns N' Roses, when I actually went to see The Angels, which is an Australian band, with Doc Neeson. I wanted to see them especially. I didn't want to see Guns N' Roses. And Axl Rose got hit in the head with an orange and threatened to go off the stage like a little bitch. And what was the other one? When I went and watched... the fellow from Noiseworks, I've forgotten someone will have to look that up. The fellow from Noiseworks, he got hit in the head with a glass one night, and some cunt threw a glass at him and hit him in the head. I didn't know about this because I was in the bathroom, and I just wanted to have a chat with him and get a photo with him afterwards, and he just, like... the whole mood was just turned to shit. But that was, I did that as a dare for Banerjee when I spoke to Banerjee. Remember? Do you remember Banerjee?
Dusty Ash.
Yeah, that's right. And it was just like Del Quire this morning when he said, "Oh, call in to John Laws." I went, "All right, yeah, why not? Let's do it. It'll be fun. It'll be a lark. It'll be a joke. So why not?" I can't remember. Maybe John LeBon can help me out. John LeBon, unmute and help me out. Noiseworks. Who was the lead singer of Noiseworks?
Bro, that was way before my time. Way before.
Oh, okay.
I was born in 87, man.
Fucking hell, man. I had sex for the first time 2 years after you were born.
I think I was a year before.
Of. Piss off, Tom. You must have had sex.
And maybe before. John's father.
Yeah, so johnlebon.com. Yeah, that's John LeBon from johnlebon.com. I think we lost Del. Del's pissed off. And Ab's
pissed
off.
Well, I saw Ab and Tom Delper, and I thought, man, since I'm at a computer and I've got the microphone set up, because I just made a video about our friend, deceased friend, may he rest in peace, Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Hawking.
I've got the microphone set up, and I saw Tom and Ab, I thought I'd better just pop in and say hello. But sadly, it looks as though Ab has gone non-eyes.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, Ab does... Sorry, Tom, go, Tom.
I was just going to say, it's 2:20 in the morning here, John. And, yeah, I got sort of drawn into this conversation about an hour ago, saying I've just come in here for 10 minutes. You know what it's like.
Yeah, Rollo has an amazing ability to do that. But did you see the video that we made a few days ago, Tom, where Rollo was very well behaved? He was practically sober. And I thought he did a very good job on that live stream about a week ago. Did you catch that?
I just apologise to Ab for not catching up on his audios, but I heard it's a good one. It got a lot of recommendations, and several people said it was good, and I thought it's another one I have to catch up on and listen to.
Every now and then, I go into something thinking this will probably be a disaster, and I'm pleasantly surprised, and this was one of them.
Well, it's good. I much prefer it when you're in good humour. Yes, I don't like you when you get all arsey.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm talking more about my buddy, my sidekick, Rollo. When he is in fine form, it can sort of cloud the show a little bit, but he was very well behaved. I thought he was a terrific sidekick, almost to the point where I think you could make a regular show of this if you wanted to. That's how well I think the chemistry worked.
No, I think you and P. Mars would make a better show.
Yeah, well, the whole P-Mars thing, man. I didn't realize he was that bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Ah, well, these things happen.
Awful. And did you even post that anywhere? Like, is that?
I haven't reposted it yet. I will go and take the good parts from that, though. Because, you know, this is a thing. People are now saying that jet fuel is a hoax. This is starting to take over now. So get used to it. You'll see more people now trying to argue that jet fuel is a hoax. This is going to be a thing. I'm not even kidding. This is going to be a thing now.
Yeah, so Tom, if you haven't seen it, John LeBond just posted in the show notes, the live stream chat, what you're talking about, and Tommy Dalper can have a look at it. But
Before Tommy needs to go to bed soon, man, it's 2:00 in the morning. Before he does, I just quickly, Tommy Dalper, can you tell us, have you been following? I know you said you haven't caught up on the audios, but have you been following the general fakeologist stuff this year, or have you kind of been away from it?
I keep an eye on what's going on without being in a real phase of sort of doing my own research, I'd say, really. But, yeah, obviously I keep whatever a fakeology world is, but in this sort of, yes.
We might have noticed we've had a lot of departures, but also a lot of new additions, most of them by the same name, Gaia. We've had lots of Gaias depart, lots of Gaias come through, like a yo-yo, that dude. It is funny what this stuff can do to people, isn't it? People can take it very seriously. I've been guilty myself in the past of taking it far too seriously. But these days, I see it as a joke, guys. This Stephen Hawking thing is a joke. You guys understand that, don't you? This is a joke, and some of us are in on it. And some of us are not in on it. And once you see the joke, I don't understand why people would get angry about it or, like, negative. It's like, guys, this is funny. You know what I mean? Laugh along. You know, it's a joke. It's a circus. We're here for a good time, aren't we? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, John, you do remember that, like, Tom Dalper said before about you met him in the street, right? You never spoke to him, but you had some contact with the daughters and that. But the joke is that they might have replaced him, and I think, the whole idea of, I'm not sure about, have you read Space, what was the book again? Sorry, John, help me out.
A Brief History of Time.
I might ask you before, have you read it or not?
No, I haven't read it, no. Have you?
Oh, Christ, it's a hard read. There's only 3 pages, and the only 3 pages that are absolutely understandable is when he's using allegory, when he's using... Yeah, look, Simon Shack, apparently, from cluesforum.info, septemberclues.info, is going to release a book on his cosmology, and he is... that's something I'm looking forward to. I really am. I hope it's readable, too. And you have a lot of thoughts on the... Well, everybody thought you were a flat earther to start with, John LeBond, didn't they? And then turns out that you're not.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can only say what you think, and then people can hear what they want to hear. And you can go back to the very first episode of the Baller Skeptic Roundtable, and I was very clear. Not only was I not a flat earther, I was the only one on the panel pointing out the problems with flat earth from the very first episode. But people hear what people want to hear. That's the nature of this realm. People hear what they want to hear. And then when it turns out that they have misheard, they're more likely to get angry at you for their mishearing than to take responsibility. Most humans do not like taking responsibility for themselves. That is the nature of this realm, I've come to learn.
Sure. And what about the whole idea of this flat earth society or whatever it is? It's called the Adams family, you know, Patricia's there, the cute little one, and all the, you know, your Nathan Oakleys and your the rest of them. Yeah, the Adams family. Are they there to sort of make NASA look good? What do you reckon?
I have no idea.
Do you think the flat earth was pushed in the alternative, John, in about 2015? Do you think it was?
I think it was pushed. I think there's a few people in particular who seem to have been working together to achieve their own ends, which were not necessarily clear to their lemming audiences. Now, what was their main motivation? Was it money? Was it attention? Who was working with them? That I don't know. But I think if you just look, and this is just an inference, I don't know this for a fact, I'm just inferring from certain things that we do know, it looks to me as though, yeah, someone was pushing it. Someone was pushing it, yeah. I'm pretty confident of that.
Yeah, Mark Sargent. Was it the Abrados first called Mark Sargent?
Well, it is strange, guys. It is strange, if we're being honest, and this is where we have to always be circumspect, it is strange that Mark Sargent's first ever call was with the good man himself, Tim Abirata of Fakeologist.com, the very platform that we're using right now. So we have to bear in mind that sometimes things do happen by chance. So in the case of Ab speaking to Mark Sargent, are we going to say that that was Ab being part of the rollout, or was that just a happy coincidence? Do you know what I mean? These are things where it really does come down to personal, subjective interpretation, doesn't it?
Tom, yes. What say you?
Yeah, I would think that, yes, it's highly suspicious that old Mr. Abirato, yes, he's one of those, possibly, quite possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I remember it being pushed. Obviously, this is a kind of place, an alternative site, where agents of pushing such a thing would come and suggest it. And I remember that sort of happening at the end of 2014. Suddenly, we had another little push on the flat earth thing. I even went in talking about it in a thread a bit, started looking at it, and then it just grew, didn't it? It then becomes organic. You can stimulate these things, and then they have their own life.
Yeah, it goes viral. It goes viral.
Yeah, to my sort of the flat earth push experience, because I thought the Ball Earth Skeptic shows were so good, you know, and they had so many of the stars of this new suddenly popped up flat earth scene.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. I was just saying, unwittingly, perhaps, John was quite an agent of such a psyop. You know, if it was a psyop, then in a way you would have been part of it by hosting all those characters, it felt. But,
Who was the main one? John Levon, when you did the Ball Earth Skeptic, who was the main one again? I forgot.
When you said the main one, the main what?
The main one, the main, your sort of partner in crime.
Three of us. It was myself, David Weiss, and Matrix Decode. But the thing is,
that's
the three of us, like literally the three of us in this call right now. We've been over this at least once and probably two or three times already before. Like, you guys are aware of that, aren't you?
Sorry, going over old ground there. We've done this before on audio. It's just it's late, and I don't know how it came up. It just sort of it came up again. Yeah, no, I suppose I asked the question, didn't I? Do you think it was a push?
Well, there's nothing wrong with asking the question, but what I find interesting is how, like, our mind. This is like an observation of our minds, right? Our minds have this amazing ability to keep spiraling back. You know those little things at the front of shopping centres sometimes, where you put a coin in, like it's a donation, but to make it amusing. You put the coin in and it spirals around before it goes down into the pit of coins. Our minds seem to work like that. And Flat Earth has this amazing ability to keep dragging people back in towards it. Even when, you know, it was years ago, guys. It was 2015 that was big. It's now 2018, man. 2018. So I think a lot of the people who talk about Flat Earth being a psyop, well, if the psyop's design is to suck attention or to discredit by association or whatever, like it depends. Surely this psyop theory depends on people talking about it. So the people who keep talking about the psyop, you guys are now the ones propagating the psyop, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I think that's a fair point, which is it's exactly as I'm saying. It's the way these things organically then just look after themselves, because people are already talking about it. It's done its job, and it's without, you know, people are quite innocently promoting it still.
Yeah, but I mean, people aren't interested in it, and to me it's very understandable that regular people will be fascinated by the question of Flat Earth, because it gets them questioning cosmology. So for a lot of people, Flat Earth is synonymous with questioning the official cosmology. Now, for me, it's not, because for me, you can question cosmology. You don't need Flat Earth. And Flat Earth is such a flawed belief system and a ridiculous online so-called movement that any sane man will do what he can to distance himself from it at this point. And at this point, I mean 2 years ago, like by 2016, it was pretty clear what was going on, I thought, anyway. You don't need Flat Earth to engage in questioning cosmology. The thing is, a lot of people do. A lot of people do see it as a dichotomy between official story and Flat Earth, because this is how most people's brains work. It's Pepsi or Coke, Democrats or Republicans, Flat Earth versus NASA spinning ball. So Flat Earth will always be their default method for discussing cosmology. So I can understand it from that perspective, but
man, I see it
2 years ago. So I just wonder when other people are going to get like bored of it. Not to the point of complaining about it, but I mean bored of it to the point of moving on, you know?
MoveOn.org. Yeah. I see it as something that's brought in, like conspiracy theorists. It's just something the mainstream media can use as a...
Hey, just before Tom goes to bed, I wanted to ask him, have you been listening to these Propaganda Morris podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
I heard one.
Yeah, what was your take?
I didn't like being called an ant. I seem to remember he was going on. He used an analogy that were bees or ants or something. We're like, I can't remember. Yeah, sorry to be vague, but it was about over a week ago, and that was my impression I came away with.
No, that's fair enough. I listened to the first four, and I think it's terrific. I don't agree with Propaganda Morris about everything. Like, there are certain things he says, and then his overall shtick, which I'm not completely in resonance with. But just the fact that there's someone who knows about...
Don't call him Propaganda Morris.
Well, what do I call him?
Well, call him A.A. Morris is his name. But I know it's called the Propaganda... A Propaganda at the Propaganda, so there you go.
All right, I'll call him A.A. Morris. So...
good man.
We're very proper here, yes.
So anyway, what was I saying, Rollo? What have you done to me? I just think it's cool that someone who knows about media fakery, he's saying, right, I'm going to get a microphone, I'm going to record what I have to say, I'll have my notes in front of me, I'll try and keep to a structure, and I'll share it with the world. I think that's terrific. And I support it 100%. So I'm glad, and I'm up to episode 4, like I said, and it's been fascinating so far. It really has. And you know what I found out, thanks to Fakeologist and Propaganda Morris podcast, A.A. Morris podcast? You know the show Doctor Who? That aired the day after the JFK assassination. Somehow I didn't know that, or I forgot it. Episode 88 of Doctor Who is called The Great Assassin. Episode 88. And in it, there's a dude who's talking about the Matrix and how reality is bending and warping, and you see the typograph. Now, you might say, well, why is that significant? Okay, so it started airing after JFK was assassinated, November 22, 1963. And then episode 88 is about a great assassin, and they're talking about the Matrix. And if you look into the synchronicities between September 11, 2001, and the film The Matrix, and especially the film Back to the Future, the amount of syncs between these things is phenomenal, beyond chance in my opinion, beyond mere chance anyway, and the number 88 keeps popping up. For instance, the DeLorean, what speed does the DeLorean have to go
88 miles an hour. 88 miles an hour. Now, if that was a one-off thing, you'd say, well, who cares, right? You're being crazy. Yeah, if it was a one-off thing, fine. But when you start looking into this, it's not a one-off or a two-off or a three-off or a four or five. It's everywhere, everywhere. It's amazing. And to me, that's far more interesting than discussing Patricia Steer and Mark Sargent and the latest shenanigans in their shit show. I'm trying to say?
Have you even... Go, Tom.
I got listening to all that stuff a long time ago, in fact. I quite enjoy that first one, A. Morris, and I've read a couple of his articles, which I liked as well. It's funny, he was coming to this site and sort of putting a lot of likes on the homepage, on the front page of that site, and then he started doing his own audit. He was doing it almost on a daily basis, sort of liking a lot of posts. And now, since he started doing his own audio, he's not liked any.
Yeah, that's funny. I noticed that too, Tom. Yeah, that's amazing. But that's okay. I mean, he's doing his own thing, and he's doing a fabulous job. It's like a rich stew listening to one of his podcasts. It's so damn rich. You have to go 15 minutes at a time and then listen to it again.
Well, he shows, he's revealing to us just how small a world this little media fakery scene is, because he references Hoaxmaster's Call. He references Fakeologist, obviously. I think I've heard him reference Miles Mathis once or twice.
He's referenced you.
He's referenced me. So you go through this list of people who he's referenced, and you realize there's really not that many people here, is there? There's really not that many outlets at all. It's phenomenal.
He's certainly in our little scene or something, isn't he? He seems to be.
I've got a point with
Miles Mathis where I just think he's a wrong un. Mark, he said that John Lennon was Mark Stacer, and I just can't get over that. That's just so wrong. It just strikes me. And he's no real referencing with his papers. He calls them papers, and he's been well looked at. And I thought I certainly thought he was a bit of a disinformation agent.
We've got to get John LeBon at johnlebon.com to actually get him on audio. Is it like A.A. Morris? I'd like to hear John LeBon and A.A. Morris do a back and forward, as I would like to hear Miles Mathis. And that way, and it's same with Stefan Molyneux or Dave Cullen. Like, yeah.
Going back to Thomas' point about Miles Mathis, I've never really got into Miles Mathis's work before, not much. The only real paper I studied in depth was his paper on the Cavendish experiment back in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
The Cavendish experiment, of course, being, you know, the way that the scientists have determined the mass of the moon with giant heavy balls in a shed. You guys know that? So it was the only paper of Mathis's that I'd really read.
Yeah, I think that you should get credit for that one, because you talked about that against Red's Rhetoric or whatever one night on audio, and that was the first time I'd heard it talked about in those terms. So kudos to John LeBon on that one.
Well, the thing is, Mathis had actually discussed Cavendish before me, but his analysis was perplexing, because on the one hand, he was showing all of the problems with these so-called experiments, but his conclusion was, oh, it's all above board. It's just, they're just off by a few measurements or whatever. Like, I'm obviously condensing a long paper into a basic summation, and it's just my subjective summation, but basically he's pointing at all the problems, somehow arriving at the conclusion that it's still relatively above board. Whereas what I'm saying is, guys, do you actually think anyone ever can measure the mass of the Earth with heavy balls in a shed? Just think about it. The obvious answer is no. This should be a self-evident thing, right? Anyway, we're discussing Miles Mathis on the member Skype call on Sunday, because we have these member Skype calls on my website, and we've got topics sort of set ahead of time. And the topic for this Sunday is Miles Mathis. So we're going to be analysing his paper on Stephen Hawking. And apparently he thinks that Stephen Hawking was replaced. So that'll be interesting.
That sounds about right.
Is that for members only, or do we have to?
Yeah, that's members only. That is members only.
Can we listen in, like, oh, yeah,
no,
Skype?
No,
yeah.
It's literally members only. However, one of them was released. I did release one of them to past members. So I think maybe call five or six or seven
was released to part members, so you can check that out. But generally speaking, no, they're members only. And we usually get anywhere from sort of 4 to 8 people in a call. And it's terrific because you don't get people who are there to obfuscate or to go in figure eights or to get into pointless name calling or point scoring. It's just people who want to be there to have a discussion and to share ideas and to think about things. It's terrific. It's fantastic.
Yeah, sure. Well, do your best to get Miles Mathis in there. I mean, that would be the thing. And then Miles people would pay for it, like 20,
well, people are paying for
20 a month?
I think people already are paying it for it. And I don't think Miles Mathis does interviews, man. I don't think he does. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well.
I don't think he does interviews. So how about you try and interview him?
Email him, ask him nicely to do an interview. Why not? What's the worst
thing you can do? Why are you telling me to do it? Why don't you go and do it?
The thing is, I don't think people would want to talk to me because I'm not reliable. You know what I mean? I'm not like you. You are reliable when it comes to professionalism. I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm not professional like you. It's that simple.
Well, on that note, I'm...
Yeah, I've scared everybody. It's like I could be, but I'm not.
It's nice to hear your voice again, man. Hopefully we can have a proper chat sometime soon, eh?
You bet, you bet. And good luck with the Skype thing on... Sorry, Tom. Keep going.
No, it's me that's going. So, yeah, cheers, guys. Look, I'm going to go to bed. It's 2:40 in the morning. I haven't got to get up too early, but I've got to get up tomorrow and live. Yes, get on with the day. I'll see you later.
That's the famous Tom Dauber from Nutmeg. We love Tom. Yeah, and good on you, John LeBond. So, yeah, johnlebond.com. Yeah, you have to pay 20. It's only 20 a month, isn't it? 20 a month?
Yeah, 20 Australian a month, which is like 16 US dollars. Yeah. It's like $4 a week US. Anyone can afford
half the price of a packet of cigarettes. So, johnlebond.com, half the price of a packet of cigarettes. Yeah, all right. You convinced me. I'm gonna sign up. Good on you, mate. Keep going. Yeah. Keep plugging your site. It's awesome.
The other one who keeps bringing it up, I was just mentioning that we're having Miles Mathis. We're discussing Miles Mathis.
Discussing.
On the member Skype call. But, yeah, I mean, really, anyone who wants to know about Miles Mathis, they're better off just reading his papers, aren't they? Which is what I'm going to have to do between now and Sunday to prepare for the call. So it should be interesting, man. It should be interesting.
Well, look, like I said last time I spoke to you, ever since your Ethan and Lindsay and your shows with when you analyze the news, all those fucking years ago, I loved it, and I liked you ever since then. Today is a historic day, I guess, because of the Stephen Hawking. And it's the 15th of March, 2018. My wife is off tonight, off to see Sheehan, whoever he is, some musician in Sydney that's going to fill out ANZ Stadium. So, I think I'll let it go. And, it's always good to talk to you, Tom. And who else do we have here tonight? Fakeologist, Tom D'Alpera, and Del Qua, and anyone else? I can't remember. There you go. Good on you.
Cool, all right, man. Well, you take care, all right? And,
always do.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is. Take care, everybody.
You bet. Cheers.
Hi, this is Rochello, and you're not listening to me. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.